This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number four of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Abefe alongside Will Hill, hanging with you guys here. As always, Sirius XM channel 158 is where you can listen to us, and you can watch us on VSiN.com/the VSiN Watch app. Will, we have a very interesting baseball betting card coming up on Tuesday because got some good pitching matchups, at least with pitchers that are very noteworthy. Some former Cy Young winners, some potential future Cy Young winners, perhaps. But Phillies Marlins, I think, grabs my attention really fast after what we saw Monday night with a game that was built for live bettors everywhere. You get the Marlins jump on Wheeler, then the Phillies come back, and then the Marlins win it late with the walk-off. Well, now we have Aaron Nola versus Sandy Alcantara on the mound. Marlins a slight favorite, minus 113. Philadelphia minus 107. The total is sitting at 8. Anything that kind of jumps out to you when you see that pitching matchup, especially after what we saw Monday night?
Yeah, always interesting, too, and a dangerous way to handicap these games when you try to get in to the psychology of it, where like last week, all the Red Sox, they win 15 in a row, and then they lose one. Does that lead to more losses? Do they get back on track? That's, you can twist yourself into a pretzel. Miami, the inverse of that, where they've lost so many in a row, now they get off the losing streak. Yeah,
they're hot
now. I kind of dismiss it. I know that they're hot now. Them and the Mets, red hot. I think that Nola has had trouble keeping the ball in the ballpark. He's given up a lot of home runs, but you know what? Miami, not a great hitter's ballpark, and there is some positive regression you would think in his numbers. So I would think Philly bounces back. If I had to bet it, I'd probably bet Philly, but not enough of an edge where I'm looking to bet it. The line looks about right to me. Lean towards Philly, but nothing more than a lean. How about you? Have you dove into this game? If you had to bet it, where would you go?
I think if I had to bet it, it'd probably be like a Miami first five. I don't know if I want to go ahead and dabble with the bullpen and see how the whole thing goes through there. Yeah. But like backing Sandy at home, he tends to be really dominant there. Nola, he seems like of anybody on the Philly staff, like that's the guy that you would want to fade. So it would be Marlins first five for me. I want to do a little bit more of a deep dive on that one, but that's kind of how I would approach that pitching matchup in particular, especially with Sandy at home against this Phillies lineup, which, yes, it has a lot of names, but, you know, hey, sometimes away from home, they can cool off a little bit. There's some other matchups. I mean, the NL East has given us a lot of stuff, like the Braves and the Mets, Sale versus Christian Scott, the red-hot Mets, as you alluded to, Garrett Cole back on the mound for the Yankees, south side of Chicago taking on Anthony Kay and the White Sox. You have the Royals and the Twins in the AL Central, and then the red-hot Red Sox against the Athletics. But anything that jumps out to you with the rest of Tuesday's baseball card?
Detroit minus 135 against Baltimore. Melton going for Detroit. He's been really good. Can you say a game on July, what's it, July 28th is a must win? I'm not sure, but if there is one, this is it. If you lose again, this is four in a row. And you know what? Pick up the phone. If I'm the Tigers GM, enough. I've seen enough. I'm trading Scooble. You guys haven't given me a reason to believe. You got to give me a reason to believe. This is a huge game, not just for what it means in the standings, but these next couple games are swing games. If you don't win a few of these, he's gone. You're going to trade Scooble to either Tampa, Milwaukee, Philly, the Dodgers. We can have that conversation. We have and we will. I think Detroit bounces back. I never like to really play the motivation angle in baseball, but this is a game that really interests me from that perspective where a couple more losses. I mean, it's almost like the reverse magic number. You always talk about that like September magic number to clinch a spot. This is the reverse magic number where a couple more losses, I'd say your magic number, I don't know, three or four, something like that. If you lose another three games between now and the deadline, four games, you might be done. So that magic number is dwindling. I lean towards Detroit here, but just from that perspective, the Scooble front, this is a fascinating game. The other one looks a little cheap, and I know, you know, most people don't want to lay $1.55, $1.60. I know you were on the Mets on Monday, and we've all been looking to fade Martin Perez, a negative regression candidate. Mm-hmm. Sale minus $1.55 or so, $1.60 at DraftKings against Christian Scott. I think with Acuna back, Sale on the mound, no Soto for the Mets. Again, $1.60, maybe a little bit too rich for people's blood. I think the Braves bounce back. I think they win this game. I'll probably, whether it's laying a run where you lay, put half your bet on -1.5, half on the money line, or you swallow the juice, however you want to play it, I think the Braves, despite being a big favorite here, that's probably when I'll have in the account before that game starts.
Yeah, it's the prototypical bounce back spot. You know, it's like I always love to fade the team getting their star player back. But then once you faded them and you've successfully faded them, the next game is when you actually see the bump of like, okay, we got him back. We didn't play well, but now let's go out there and do our thing. And it starts to look a little bit more like what you thought it would look like. So, yeah, hard to argue. It would be Braves or pass for me. I think I might be pass because I think the betting market would probably just have it appropriately priced with Chris Sale on the mound. But if, like, let's say it was someone that did not have Sale's pedigree, I would be all over the Atlanta Braves in that matchup against the New York Mets. Because, like, it's cute. Like, the Mets won a couple games against the Dodgers. The Mets, of course, won Monday night against the Braves. But I don't think this is going to be the start of some, like, Mets run here as they try to, like, finish the rest of the season on a positive note. I don't think that's going to happen or anything like that. So it'd be Braves or nothing. Probably going to end up being nothing for me. But you bring up the Detroit Tigers. I don't know if the magic number is as high as 3 or 4. I think it's like 2. I think it's kind of like you lose 2 more games. Like, let's say you lose Tuesday, you lose Wednesday. Dude, like, we're trading Scooble. I'm sorry. It's over.
Yes.
Like, we have to trade him. So they're at 4. I think if we get to next Monday and they're 4 games back, that's my pivot point to where it's like, okay, you must trade this guy. But, man, you lose a couple more, it's going to be hard to be better than 4 games back next Monday. So I think it's looking more and more likely that Tarek Skubal will be in another uniform. I think from a percentage standpoint, I probably have it up to, like, let's say 65 that Skubal's traded. You know, maybe might approach 70 if they lose Tuesday.
I think we're a little higher.
Like, it's like we're getting there, but like the expected outcome though, Skubal on another team. Well, who would that team be? Well, we can get into that conversation all throughout this week.
Let's get into it now.
You want to do it now?
It would be fun if he went somewhere like Milwaukee, Tampa, Philly. It'd be fun if he went to other. Let's call it the field.
Mm-hmm.
For selfish reasons, just for the 24, 48 hours. And I know you probably share this sentiment. I would love to see people freak out when he goes to the Dodgers. Now, once the playoffs start, it'll make it less fun. But I want to see people scream and cry and yell and just complain that life's not fair once he goes to the Dodgers. There is a sick element of me with that, where it's like I do want to see that news cycle of him on the Dodgers. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, you want to start a lockout. I mean, what is this? You're rooting for anarchy? That's what you're rooting for? Because like, if
want to see all the crybabies. Well, my team didn't get him, so it's not fair.
Well, because the crybabies will be out in full force. But also, like from like a realistic standpoint and like a serious standpoint, the owners, the other 29 owners, will point to this and saying, see, this is why we must change all these rules and try to get like a hard cap implemented, which I'm assuming the Players Association will never go for. And then we could potentially have a lockout in 2027. I don't want to see that. I'd love for opening day to be late March, early April. So let's keep like I usually root for the big boys, but this year I'm like, hey Dodgers, let's lose in the NLDS so people don't just go out here and like point to the Dodgers as why baseball is being ruined, even though baseball has been more popular than it's been like the last decade or so. Like it's like everyone's like so yes, it would be fun for 24 to 48 hours, but thinking long term. I don't want to see Skubal on the Dodgers. You know where I do want to see
him,
though?
Can you picture?
Oh, can I picture who?
Go ahead. I was just saying, can you picture the reaction and just the upheaval?
I mean, it'll break contain. Like, it'll go viral to where like you see First Take, the Get Ups, the Cowherd Show. Like, everyone's talking about it. If Tarek Skubal goes to the Dodgers, and is this good for baseball? Will be everyone's favorite topic on the daytime TV shows. And that's when you know we're going to be in for a long negotiation for that CBA. Like, you don't want that conversation. So yes, I can picture it. I can see it coming. And that's why I'm hoping like hell he does not go to the Dodgers. I want him to go to Chicago, not the White Sox, the Cubs. Because I do think if the Cubs can get a frontline starter, a legitimate bona fide frontline guy, I think they can take down the Dodgers and actually win the World Series. Like, this Cubs team, like, from their lineup is playing well. Like, PCA has been unbelievable this season. I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but I know a lot of people out there have some tickets on him or hoping that he wins it. But all that stuff aside, like, runs above replacement is my favorite stat over at FanGraphs. It's a great indicator for who will win the World Series. You got to be in the top 10. The Cubs have been in the top 10 all throughout the season. And, in fact, the Cubs are actually number one. It's not the Dodgers. It's not the Brewers. It's not the Rays, it's the Chicago Cubs. But the missing ingredient is a frontline guy that you can depend on, give the ball to for a game one of a series. If they get Tarik Skubal, I think the Chicago Cubs are winning the Fall Classic again for the first time since 2016.
All right. I'll make a mental note of that. I mean, you could say that for a lot of teams. You put him on Atlanta with Sale, him and Sale, Skubal and Sale to start a playoff series. Man, that's dangerous. Him and Philly, Sanchez, Wheeler, Skubal, good luck.
That's where I draw the line.
Milwaukee, him and Mizorowski.
No, Philly will choke. No? Philly will choke. Milwaukee, okay. I think, will choke as well. But Braves, yes. Dodgers, of course. I mean, they might sweep and go 4-4-4 or whatever. Like they do like the Moses Malone if they get Skubal. Philly, I'm out on them, man. I'm way out. I don't care. Bring back Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz. They're still losing. I don't care.
All right.
What have we seen? They go to October.
Yeah, but I mean, Skubal. If you get Skubal, Wheeler, and Sanchez, man, that could trump a lot of whatever's happened in the past. And they made a World Series. You know, I get it.
Yeah. They also choked away an NLCS up 3-2 going back home to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That was a bad one.
They also did that as well.
That was a bad one.
I'm telling you, man. There's something about that clubhouse. They just gets to nut cutting time, and it's not good. Harper, Turner, Schwarber. Look at this lineup. Crickets come October, and I say that because I've been there and I've lost money on these jokers. So
sounds like it.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. You're not gonna fool me again. You know what I mean? Like we're not doing it. We're not doing it again. Shout out to our guy GW. But that's what's happening in Major League Baseball. Want to remind people that the VSiN NFL betting guide is out now. Get it today. Football special for just $175. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and take advantage of the opportunity.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, I know, Will, you don't really want to hear about this game, but we still are tied in the South Side between the Yankees and the White Sox, knotted up at 4.
Yep.
Seventh inning. This game is going long, man. I figured this one would be over, or maybe I just want it to end. But it's the top of the seventh. Yankees do have a runner on third. I do not know who is at the plate right now, but Hudson is in on the mound for the White Sox as they're showing us. Is it Schumann?
Yeah, Max Schumann, your boy.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly my boy. He was leading off here for the Yanks. I mean, my God, he's not their usual leadoff guy, is he? Or is this?
No, I mean, Judge is hurt. Bellinger's hurt. It's a little bit of platoon. You know, they're dealing with a lot of Stanton's hurt, so
yeah,
that's a lot of firepower right there on the IL. But yeah, this is look, the Yankees are worth like $8.5-9 billion in a sport with no salary cap. I guess it doesn't go as far as it used to. You got some scrubs on this team.
I mean,
some regular playing time. Let's be honest.
Seriously, like this, Max Schumann is leading off for the New York Yankees. Like I'd expect that for our Sacramento A's. Like what's going on, man? But anyways, it's 4-4. I'm saying all that to build him up and hopefully that he can come up and shut us up here after slandering his name. 4-4 in the top of the seventh. I mean, it might not be slander. It might just be accurate. But, you know, it might just be accurate.
Do you think the White Sox win the division?
Yes. I've been on this. Like, we've been talking about this.
Do you think the Yankees win the division?
No. That's one where I've changed. I think the Rays. I don't know if these guys are going to come back in time for the Yankees.
Yeah,
like it's just and like the Rays.
What's your cutoff? When do you need Judge back? When do you need Judge back for you to pick the Yankees to win the East?
August 15th, probably.
It's not happening.
Like to feel comfortable about it, yeah. August 15th.
Yeah.
Like I don't think he's going to come back September 1, and all of a sudden they're just going to like rip off a bunch of wins. And then go in and steal the division. Because, like, the Rays are playing well. Like, we haven't seen signs of the Rays slowing down. And the Rays, what if the Rays trade for Skubal? You know, like it gets, like it seems like they might be a little bit aggressive this year since that the AL is wide open and they appear to be the best team, or at least the best team in the regular season. So yeah, August 15th for Judge, because like Bellinger's now out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know what you're supposed to get from this. I mean, who knows? Are we going to see Stanton ever again? Like, I don't know. Like,
longest calf strain in history. I mean, he strained his calf like 2.5 years ago and he hasn't played some. It's crazy how long it's a calf strain. It's not like, geez.
I will, in his defense, when he runs around the bases, it looks like it hurts. So, like, it doesn't look like it takes whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot for Giancarlo Stanton to get injured. So I understand why the Yankees are being cautious with this one. They said it is most important that we have you healthy for October. We're not going to rush you. So that is why we have not seen Stanton since, I mean, like what, St. Paddy's Day? Like, I don't know. Like, it's been a while. So, yeah, I'd say August 15th for Judge, for the Yankees to have a realistic chance to win the American League East. The West? This Rangers
good
thing
races
is
in
something?
The American League.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I don't think it's Seattle. I think it's between the two Texas teams, either Houston or Texas. I lean Houston, but I don't have a lot of confidence when I say it.
Oh, really? By the way, Imai is the pitcher for Houston who's due some negative regression. Mm-hmm. If you had the over for his outs, unless it was 1.5, you lost because he got 2 outs tonight, 2/3 of an inning. 4 walks, like 35 pitches. He only gave up a couple runs. Well, you start walking 4 guys in an inning. You know what? It's not your night. Get him out of there. And he's just been shaky as he's out of there. Angels lead 2-0. I would probably go Texas just by almost default because you are throwing DeGrom. I know he hasn't been great, but he's still pretty good. Eovaldi, Gore. If you can ever get Seager and Lankford on the same field at the same time, which I don't know if we've ever seen them on the same field at the same time, I'd go with Texas, but... Here's a better question, maybe. What's it take to win? How many wins does it take? Does 85 win that division? Because that is really an unusually low bar for a division. I was looking at the standings the other day, and the A's are like 16 games under. And usually when you're 16 games under, you're like 16 games out. They were 8 games out of first place at 16 under. It's just wild how mediocre the AL West is.
They're just 9 games up, like in the loss column behind Texas. There's 9 games in the
amazing.
Loss. Like that division stinks out loud. Like it's so bad. I mean, everyone
NFC South vibes.
It really is. Like what did Carolina win it with? Like 8-9 was their record, I believe.
8-9, I think.
Yeah, and they backed into it just because. I mean, this guy Walbert Urania continues to just somehow get out of these jams, leaving runners on base. I'm so sick of him. Anyways, to the top or bottom of the second we go between the Astros and the Angels, but. Yeah, man, I'm guessing, like, I'll say 88, 87 probably gets it done in the AL West. Like these teams are just atrocious. The only team with a positive run differential is my Seattle Mariners, who I have no confidence in. And I don't even know how you're supposed to. Like, they can't win a game on the road to save their lives. Like, it's brutal from the Seattle Mariners. So it's just a horrendous division. So I would guess, 87. 88. White Sox win the Central is my guess as well. I mean, I've been on that one for, I want to say like 6 weeks or so when we first did our kind of call your shot midway through the season, what we think is going to happen. I said White Sox win the Central. I thought the Yankees would win the East back then, but now I do think it will be the Tampa Bay Rays because of the injuries. What about in the National League? Are you putting the Braves? Are you starting, you're starting to break out the pen? No longer pencil? You're doing pen now for Atlanta?
Not necessarily, but what are they, 5-6? That's a healthy lead with only a couple months to go. Philly's showing a little leaks, and Acuna's back. If there's anybody that's going to come from behind, it's going to be Philly. But I feel like Atlanta might have enough to hold them off here.
Could the Cubs ever go on an insane run to run down the Brewers?
How many games out are they right now? And have it in front of me.
They're 7.
No, the Brewers will win.
Yeah. Feels like that's all right. The West obviously is already done. But yeah, the American League will be intriguing. The National League, it feels like the East is the only one where we're probably going to get like a decent race, but also check back in 2 weeks. Maybe this is Braves with a 6.5-7 game lead as opposed to just a 5.5 game lead for the top spot in the National League East. Your New York Yankees and your guy, Ben Rice, he comes through here with an RBI. Is that we're 5-4 now, right? He just drove in one?
Yeah, they had a man on third, nobody out. Caballero struck out our boy Max Schumann, who's headed to Cooperstown one day with a pop out that doesn't get the runner home. So you go from man on third, productive nobody out, to man on third, two out. But Ben Rice picks him up with a base hit, and it's now 5-4 Yankees.
Where is he at to win American League MVP? Is he
13-1, 15-1, something like that?
Yeah, see, so FanDuel has 12. I mean, like,
yeah.
In a world where Yordan Alvarez doesn't look like Barry Bonds, you know, he's legitimately there. I mean, like, Fangraphs has Ben Rice as the second best batter in the American League. But, like, Yordan Alvarez is far and away the best, is the problem.
Yes.
He's always shown this ceiling, that being Alvarez. I didn't expect this, man. Like this is ridiculous what he's been doing. Like, he's having, like, a Judge type of season at the plate. I think that's what's going to carry Houston into the playoffs, but, man, yeah, it's been impressive to see. But, like, the call on Ben Rice, that's a good call that you had at the start of the season. Doesn't look like it's going to get home, barring some sort of injury to Alvarez, which is always on the table, mind you. Knock on wood, we don't root for injuries, but, like, we also deal in reality. But, yeah, he's having one heck of a season, as is James Wood in the National League, having a really good season as well. But right now it is 5-4 Yankees as we head to the bottom of the seventh. Some other scores from around Major League Baseball. The Athletics, my Athletics, are up 1-0 on the Boston Red Sox in the bottom of the third. Looks like we're still scoreless in the Bay Area between the Brewers and the Giants right now in the top of the third. Angels have a 2-0 lead as Zach Neto at the plate here in the bottom of the second. So that's some of the West Coast baseball we got going on. You have any live sweats happening? Oh, the Cubs have a 3-1 lead right now against the Cardinals in St. Louis.
No, I'll root your bets on home, but wasn't going to force it. Had that tough one with your clapping. Something good happened.
No, I'm clapping it because you said we're going to root for my bets to get home. I'm like, okay, let's go. Yeah. You know?
Sure.
That's what we
you
want.
You and I'm sure some listeners are saying, thank God, we're tired of hearing about LeBron, but you and I have not talked about LeBron. I haven't heard your LeBron thoughts, so even though we could probably do it off the air, maybe we'll do it in the next segment here, because I do want to get your thoughts. I'm surprised how interested and into the move I was. He's probably going to go to Cleveland or go back to Miami. I don't really care. Just get it over with. The fact that he's at Philly, I think, is fun. So maybe we'll talk about that next break.
It was very surprising. I was out running some errands to do another weather report. In Las Vegas, you got to do your errands early. And, of course, the news came out in the morning for us. And I have an Apple Watch, and the Shams Charania notification just popped up on my Apple Watch. And the watch just showed me the image, and it had LeBron James photoshopped into a Sixers uniform with the caption, "Breaking news." And I said, "You got to be bleeping me." That was my response. I did not expect Philadelphia to be the team. I thought Miami, Golden State, or Cleveland. But boy, oh boy, the Eastern Conference, that will be a doozy this upcoming NBA season. Cannot wait. The NBA does have a lot of juice. The East is good. The Knicks are coming off winning the title. The West, you have this OKC-San Antonio rivalry. Minnesota trying to nudge its way into it. No more tanking. The NBA has some real juice heading into the 26-27 season. And we will talk about King James in the city of brotherly love when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're betting at Circa Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using Burra Pay and pay no Burra Pay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. Burra Pay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're here with you guys on this Monday night. Cubs with a 3-1 lead. PCA just drew a walk in the top of the fourth, so that's going on in St. Louis. I believe it's still 5-4 between the Yankees and the White Sox. The Athletics have a 1-0 lead in the top of the fourth. I believe Curtis Meade, welcome to the Red Sox. You just got plunked with by our guy Jack Perkins, so that's not great. But the Giants took the lead. They're up 1-0, which I love that as someone who is on the Giants to get it done in the first five against Milwaukee. So that's what's going on in Major League Baseball. Will, we have not yet talked, though, about the new man in Philadelphia. Maybe Tarek Skubal will join him. But the new man in Philly that has the whole city excited, Bryce Harper's excited, Saquon Barkley is excited, the governor, Josh Shapiro, said it's LeBron James Day as the king has arrived in the city of brotherly love, just signed over the weekend, at least Friday afternoon to be exact, on a veteran minimum contract, 2 years, $8 million with the chance of a player option after one. Does this move the needle for you in the Eastern Conference to where Philadelphia, not the defending champion New York Knicks, the Philadelphia 76ers are your favorites to make it out of the East?
Oh, I didn't see that. The last I had checked the odds when I was doing my podcast, I think yesterday, it was Knicks plus 330, Celtics the Knicks are, plus 350.
Yeah, the Knicks
are, go ahead.
Yeah, the Knicks are still favorite, but I'm just saying, in your own opinion, okay, in your own eyes, does Philadelphia leapfrog the Knicks? Because, I mean, to win the East, it's 330 plus 350. Like, Knicks Sixers are pretty much damn near co-favorites.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. The Knicks are the only team clearly ahead of Philly right now. And forget the betting odds for a second. Just like, hey, what's fair? What's realistic? Because we always know when the big move happens, sometimes the market reacts, and a lot of times the market overreacts. But right now, you're going to say, hey, who's clearly ahead of Philly in the East? I think it's fair to say the Knicks. They bring pretty much everyone back. They lose Mitchell Robinson, defending champs. You say the Knicks are ahead of them. Other than that, all right, people love Indiana, the Celtics, whatever. None of these teams are clearly ahead of Philly. To me, it's not a hand-in-glove fit. Him and Steph would have been a great fit. The Warriors aren't as talented as this Sixers team is. Him and Minnesota would have been a great fit. This is not a hand-in-glove fit because it's a lot of guys that need the ball. I'm not sure how much shooting there is, and I'm not sure how great they're going to be defensively. And I actually think from just a game-to-game perspective, overs might be a good bet because you got a lot of guys that like to run, like to play in transition, and you have some shaky defenders. But they're right there. And to me, you know, you got a lot of talent. It's almost like the Dodgers in baseball where you have so many guys, you can afford Blake Snell and Glass now take a few months off. Embiid doesn't have to play every night. LeBron doesn't have to play every night. You can still win your games and be in the mix here for a decent seed. The question is, and I think it'll work. Look, championship, probably not. Get to the finals, probably not. But hey, conference finals, I think, is very much on the table. Then when you get there, who knows? And I don't know that there's a bet to be made with them because the market has reacted and overreacted. The question, though, before I ask you what you think, Embiid, you got some picks to play with. You got Embiid. Him and Anthony Davis, those salaries match. I know Anthony Davis is not some beacon of trust in terms of health, but he's a better bet than Embiid. He's a little lighter. He can run a little bit more. And he was starting to shake the rep of being injury prone his last few years with the Lakers. It's hard to tell, and he got hurt right away with Dallas. It's hard to tell the last couple of years, has he actually been hurt constantly, or is some of it, you know what, he's kind of banged up, but he's kind of on tanking teams, so they're sitting him. I would trade Embiid in two or three picks, swaps, whatever, for Davis. So I have LeBron, Davis, Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, and you know what? If I lose, I lose, but come beat me. That's a hell of a team if I'm healthy. I've said what I think. I think it'll work. I'm not sure. I'm looking to make a bet here. The bet was to be made before this, you know, move was announced. But I don't know. What are your general thoughts here, LeBron, as a Sixer, which is still very weird to get used to saying?
Yeah, because I didn't expect it to happen. I don't think any people expected this one to happen. And the Sixers probably didn't expect it to happen until the day of, you know, when they probably found out like hours before we did, like, whoa, I guess we're getting LeBron. That's great. Like, obviously, they were angling for it. They make the trade for Jaylen Brown, which made it more likely. But I'm sure a pleasant surprise for them early Friday morning. To me, if I were to make a bet, it would actually be on the under for the regular season win total, which right now at DraftKings is 50.5, juiced under minus 120 over at even money. So it's like they're not going to really just give away the whole candy store here over at DraftKings. The Celtics win total, just for some reference, their win total is at 51.5. Don't you just think that this Sixers team, like, I thought you outlined it perfectly with their defense. That's the big question for me. And the regular season is dictated by defense. That's why the Spurs, I mean, hell, the Spurs might win like 65, 68 games this upcoming season because defensively they're going to be insane. OKC wins a ton of games because defensively they're insane. Like those, like the Celtics, when they're humming along, it's because their defense has been really good. That's why they win all those regular season games. Philadelphia, they're an over team. And they're a team where I look at a backcourt that's small with Edgecombe and Maxey, especially Maxey playing the two guard. He's a small guy. And I see a front court, at least at the five and the four, Embiid can't move anymore.
Can't move. He can't move.
He can't move. And then LeBron is 42. Like what do you? Yep. So like your only plus defender is Jaylen Brown, but like, is he going to be able to be a plus defender if he has to carry more of an offensive usage? Or maybe the offensive usage is not what he wants because he wants to be Batman, but he has to maybe be Robin or whatever, since there's so many guys who can get their own buckets. I think they'll be a high scoring team. They're going to be intriguing as all hell, but in terms of regular season wins, that's where I'd be looking to fade the Sixers, or at least how I would bet anything Sixers related. It would be on the under. Now, come playoff time, you get a little bit more baked in rest. The game slows down a little bit. There's fewer possessions. Maybe their offensive prowess can carry them to an Eastern Conference Finals, something they haven't done since 2001. But regular season purposes, this is under or pass for me. And I'm waiting because I think there's going to be a lot of Sixers excitement the closer we get to tip off. Maybe we get better than 50.5. By the time we get to late September or early October. But I'm looking to bet a regular season win total under because I don't think they have it defensively.
Embiid and two picks and a swap for Davis. If you're running Philly, what do you say, yes or no?
I mean, I would do it, but if I'm running Dallas, I say get the hell out of here. Or not Dallas, Atlanta.
Washington,
wherever the hell Anthony Davis is. I'd
do it if I'm Washington.
Would you?
I got to look at the contract again.
So here's the contract.
I'm still in building mode. It's a terrible contract.
But is Washington in build? I mean, like, I guess like relative to other teams in the top of the East. But I mean, you do have Trae Young. What if DeBonta is a superstar? You want to now attach DeBonta to Embiid this year?
He's not going
to
be a superstar right away. He's going to be a superstar in 2 or 3 years. And in 2 or 3 years, I'm happy I have those three picks from Philly and I can use those picks to either draft and get players or trade for another superstar. I want the picks. I'm not holding up the trophy in June. I'm not holding up the trophy next June. I want the picks.
This contract, though, so it's $57.9 million this year. Next year, it's 62.6. The year after that, it's 67.2. So Embiid has a player option in 2028-29. We can report exclusively here on VSiN Primetime.
He just picked it up.
He just picked it up. So, like, this is 3 years. You're attached to this anchor of a contract.
What's the Davis contract?
Like, we got to look that one up because I know he wants an extension. That's why I think a lot of the LeBron to the Golden State stuff.
He's much shorter. He's got like this year, maybe another year.
So he has 3 years. So his is also a player contract. So it's actually comparable. So it's 54.1 this year, 58.4 in 26-27. So he only has 2 more years because we just did 25-26. So it's 58.4 in 26-27 and then 62.7 27-28, which is a player option. I'm assuming he will also pick that up as well, given his injury history and his background. So it's a little bit better, not as bad as Embiid. I would much rather hold on to that contract than unless you're going to give me like 4 or 5 first round picks. I don't even know if you can trade that many. Okay, I'll just swallow the poison pill that is the Joel Embiid contract. But man, that contract is an absolute albatross.
What if I gave you Edgecombe and a pick or something?
Yeah. If you give me Edgecombe and picks.
Would you do that if you're Philly?
No, I can't get rid of Edgecombe. No.
That's tough.
Yeah, not what LeBron's 42 and you're already trading away Embiid. I can't get rid of Edgecombe, no. But like if I'm Washington, I'd say, I'll take BJ Edgecombe and bring Joel Embiid in his big ass contract too. Like, I'll take that as well. Like, it's just the contract is so rough. You got to give away like every pick you have to get rid of him. Like, that's a brutal contract.
It's so bad. But again, if I'm the Wizards, I'm in building mode where, you know what? I got DeBonta. I hope he's like an All-NBA type of guy. In a couple years from now, I got all this ammo to maybe get him another All-NBA guy. Then I'm cooking. So it's interesting. I hope it happens. It'd be fun.
It would be.
That's the thing that's the deal breaker for me in terms of like the futures. I look at it this way. We talk about the Tigers making the playoffs and then winning 4 rounds is like a 5-leg parlay. Embiid, if you want to win the championship, you need Embiid. Embiid has to stay healthy through the regular season in 4 rounds of playoffs. That's a 5-leg parlay. Let me tell you something. That's a 5-leg parlay that's not going to hit.
It might be more than a 5-leg parlay given Embiid's history. That might be trying to like hit the – can I parlay all the favorites in the early window of an NFL Sunday? Like, that might be what that is.
Yes.
You might be doing that kind of a parlay because, man, this dude is playing like, what, 35, 40, 50 games or whatever at most. It's rough for him. But they just need him healthy at the right time. Perhaps maybe they can contend. We will wrap up the program on the other side here on Beast. We'll be right back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of VSiN Primetime here on this Monday night. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with you guys here. Obviously, coming off of last segment, talking about LeBron James and the Philadelphia 76ers and where do they go after signing the king. And on paper or on NBA 2K, looks like a pretty damn good starting five with Edgecombe, Maxey, Jaylen Brown, LeBron, and Joel Embiid. Two finals MVPs in a starting lineup, with LeBron having four of them, Jaylen Brown winning one a few years ago. Some scores from around Major League Baseball. The Athletics have a 1-0 lead in the fifth. The Giants lead 1-0 on the Brewers in the top of the fifth. And then the Yankees have opened up a 9-4 lead in the bottom of the eighth in the south side of Chicago. And in the top of the fifth in St. Louis, the Cubbies have a 3-1 lead. Anything else you want to say about the NBA, LeBron, Eastern Conference before we turn our attention to some other items that we have to wrap up the program?
I just like that the NBA regular season, for the first time in 5 or 6 years, and you and I were doing these shows in February, it was unwatchable. It was unbettable. Yep. It was a joke of a product. I think we're going to get away from that. All the people that hate on the NBA, I love the playoffs. The regular season's been bad.
Regular season's
tough. I think the people that hate the regular season are going to have less ammo. I think we're going to have a regular season. Now, if these guys, if it's Celtics, Sixers, and LeBron doesn't play, and Tatum sits out, and Brown, all right, then it's going to be bad. We're going to have a better season. We're going to have a season with some juice. The draft provides some juice. The Wizards got DiBonza and Davis. They're not terrible. The Kings have Acuff. And the anti-tanking rules, Caleb Wilson on the Bulls, I think the league with the anti-tanking rules, the draft balancing things out, the player movement, I think we're going back to hopefully a point where you could sit there January, February, a Tuesday night and just watch a random game and know what you're watching and not have it be, all right, who the hell is that team? Who the hell are these players? Nobody's trying. It's just a ridiculous, almost like a preseason product. I think we're going to get away from that. So hopefully we're going into a season here where we could turn over a new leaf and just have a watchable product from a regular season standpoint, something I don't think you could have said in the last 5 or 6 years. It's just continued to go downhill. So I'm excited for it. LeBron to Philly. It's one of the all-time, I was tweeting about this, talking about this on my podcast, one of the all-time weird uniforms. Olajuwon on the Raptors, Ewing on the Sonics, Manny Ramirez on the White Sox, and then the Rays. Joe Namath on the Rams, Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals. Oh. I don't know if you have any more to add.
Oh my!
It's just
Jerry Rice on the Seahawks.
Him on that team, Jerry Rice on the Seahawks, Randy Moss on the Titans.
Oh.
There are some weird ones, and this is going to be just a weird uniform fit. LeBron James, Philadelphia 76ers. It's odd. It's just, I mean, there's no other word for it. It's just weird.
Yeah, Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals. That's when, as a young child, I learned that sports is a business. And like these guys don't play for these teams forever. That was a heartbreak because Aikman retired, a Cowboy. Michael Irvin unfortunately retired because he got injured on that Veterans Stadium field, in Philly. So like those guys all left as Cowboys, and then like here's Emmitt Smith playing on the Cardinals, which that was still the NFC East, the Arizona Cardinals, playing in that division. That was a tough one. That was brutal to see Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals. I have wiped that memory away from my sports brain.
He break the record against the Cowboys?
No, he was with the Cowboys. He broke it against us. So he was playing for, it was his last year in Dallas. They were playing the Seahawks, and that was funny. Well, I guess it's not funny for this person. Trent Dilfer started that game and then tore his Achilles, and then that is when Matt Hasselbeck came in as the backup, and then like Matt Hasselbeck just like took the job and ran with it, and then ended up leading the Seahawks to a Super Bowl a few years later. Where they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers with no controversy whatsoever. That was he was at least broke the record in a Cowboy uniform. If he broke it in a Cardinal uniform, I'd have rioted as a child. But like it was, that would have been too much.
I had Seattle in that Super Bowl, by the way, man. I was in college. Yeah,
that's rough.
That $100 bet was a lot of money to me back then, and I got screwed. That was ridiculous.
That was a tough one, man. That was I'm not.
It was a tough one.
I'm not a Seahawks fan. A lot of my friends growing up, obviously Seahawks fans growing up in that area, the Monday after the Super Bowl, some trolling was done by yours truly. but people were not happy.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah. Oh man, I was in it, man. I was it because like it's like they obviously all hate the Cowboys because you know I'm a Cowboys fan, so I would hate on the Seahawks. So I was just like, oh man, like you think this like the refs were fine. It was fine. Like it wasn't the refs that threw the pass to Hines Ward out there. It was Antoine Randall L. Like oh, I was trolling, man.
They got a rough whistle.
Yeah, they got a tough whistle. That is for sure. They tough.
Like, I think that Steeler team won all three of their playoff games on the road. I think they were a wild card team. They played the Bengals on the road.
Yep.
Carson Palmer got hurt.
Yeah, that was Kimo von Olhoffen. Kimo von Olhoffen.
Yeah,
rolled into his knee,
and that was. Palmer was never the same. Palmer was awesome that year.
Yeah.
They beat the Bengals. They went to Indianapolis. That's the famous Vanderjagt miss kick. Yep. And Bettis fumbled, but Roethlisberger actually, I think, made the tackle on the play. And then the Colts. Yep. And then they beat Denver and Jake Plummer the next week. So won all three playoff games on the road. There's maybe three or four playoff teams to win all Super Bowl champions to win all their playoff games on the road. I know. The Packers did it in 2010.
The Giants 07.
The Giants 07. So maybe there's one more, but very rarely.
I think the Ravens in the Ravens, they had the home wild card because they beat.
I think they won at home.
Yeah, they beat the Colts.
They won at Titans and at Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I was even thinking about the Ravens, the 2012 one, but I think they beat the Colts at home year.
Home.
And then they went and beat the Broncos in the divisional and the Patriots in the AFC title game before beating the Niners in the Super Bowl. But yeah, like the three that it's the Steelers, it is the 07 Giants, and then the 2010 Packers. There might be another one that we're completely forgetting about, and it's probably one that's more recent that we shouldn't forget, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
it's 10:51 Eastern, and that's my excuse because it's 7:51 West Coast time, so my brain should be sharper, but it's not.
We get off on some tangents, man. Last time we did Hard Knocks and Danny Woodhead. Hey, like you said, it's the middle of July. It's hour number four. We bring up some goofy stuff by the end.
Go search Danny Woodhead, Joe Theismann, if you want a good laugh. Shout out to our guy, Joe Theismann. Very nice man. I'll tell you what, though. Dogs be barking in Sacramento, wherever the hell this team is playing. The Athletics do win in the first five against the Red Sox. So we got that one home. Giants also up 3-0 against the Brewers. Hopefully that gets
home. Are we sure?
Oh, yeah. It's bottom of the fifth now. It's 1-0 with the Athletics. Yeah, we're good, man.
Boy, my screen is not updating. I'm on that channel 720 where it's got all the innings, the box scores and everything. And you watch like 6-8 games at once. But you're right. Yeah, bottom of the fifth, 1-0 A's.
We're in there.
Top of the fifth, 3-0 Giants. So the Dogs doing well here. The Angels is a dog up 4-0 as Ime, the Astro starter, made it two more outs than you and I made it combined. He only got two outs of two-thirds of an inning pitched for Ime, who walked four batters. And we keep an eye on the Major League Baseball. And rooting home our boy Gil Alexander, who has the Red Sox 80-1 most July wins. I think his magic number is 2. So he's in good shape, but you know what? It's not home until it's home. So rooting for him as well.
Get it home, Gil. And I am now rooting for the Red Sox. The Athletics did their part. They won me my money. Now I'm rooting for the Red Sox to get Gil home on that monster 80-1 ticket for most wins in July. Last couple minutes of the program, we do have this photo, and I'm assuming those of you who are watching or listening to us here have seen this on your Twitter feed, on your Instagram feed, or wherever you consume social media. The Buffalo Bills. And what they are calling their Nickel City alternate uniforms. Broke out a new alternate uniform that is a gray-on-gray top with blue numbers and a new blue helmet with, like, a red stripe on the sides of it. Will, I think this is honestly the worst uniform I've ever seen in professional sports. What do you make of this Nickel City? Like, honestly, this is actually this belongs in the UFL. Or like on a random like Mountain West Saturday on CBS Sports Network. No shade to any of those entities, but like this is just like this is not an NFL uniform. I'm sorry. What the hell is this?
They look like Boise State. Yeah, they look like
what
you know,
is
LeGarrette
this?
Blount. Or yeah, I'm with you. It looks more college. It does. It looks like Mountain West. It looks like Boise State. That's what it looks like.
Like it's so bad. Like, who greenlit this at Nike? And it's a boardroom of yes men that just say, oh yeah, it looks great, and then look away like nobody wanted to put their hand up and say, hey guys, this looks like trash. like nobody wanted to stand up and do that. I guess it's all groupthink. Who
you
knows?
Need E. you need E to stand, you know, from Entourage to just be the voice of reason and tell people uncomfortable truths. It's usually funny. Fanatics is at the center of these uniform controversies, but
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, maybe Fanatics Fest, I don't know, maybe the wires got crossed. Who knows what's going on? Maybe everyone was at the white party a few weeks ago. You never know with any of this stuff. But, I cannot believe that an NFL team will be wearing that at some point this upcoming season. That will be a game that, at this point, I might honestly just fade Buffalo whenever I find out whenever that game is. I'm like, you can't wear that and cover a number. Whether you're a dog, a favorite, you cannot wear that and cover a number. It's just the football gods won't allow it. But that does it for us here on VSiN Primetime. Will, any final thoughts?
No, good show. I think we're back, you and I, tomorrow. Another
yes,
4 hours, so it should be good.
It will be good. I know we didn't get to a whole lot of National Football League. Guess what? All 32 teams will be at camp tomorrow, and we'll discuss it here on VSiN Primetime. Ciao.